Hi. Two ideas based on the notion of Aikido, and that is that you can't beat the other forces at their own game, but you can undercut them. Bicycles is an idea. And we have models for that. We have pictures from 20 years ago in communist China where we see hordes and hordes of bicycle riders. So we know that on a human scale it can be done. The second possibility of undercutting power is to decriminalize drugs. And that's my question to you.
Yep.
It's a long and hard road,
yeah.
And it involves going through so-called the law, so-called.
Yeah, I don't know how much time we have.
Yeah.
I mean, pre-September 11th, my whole homily was end the war on drugs and you can pull the plug on all this. The illegal drug trade was funding globalization.
Right.
I did some lectures for the Wobblies a few years ago, you know, and I started to give some time, and they started to get it, but... You know, there's this huge mental block in the drug reform movement. They don't want to tackle the drug money in Wall Street. Medical marijuana is good if you could play it quickly in a way that would attract a lot of support that would distract them. You know, cavemen used to kill elephants from 100 different sides with 100 different spears and rocks. Maybe that's going to work. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it seems to me it's too late. These guys are moving at breakneck speed.
Yeah.
We've seen that.
And if Enron gets worse and guys like me keep breaking these stories and other people, it's not just me. I'm not the only one, for God's sake. There's lots of other wonderful people doing this. Keep breaking these stories and Bush loses credibility, I would expect another very serious terrorist attack very soon. Sieg Heil. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have about one observation and three questions.
Okay.
One, when the U.S. decided to start bombing Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
I saw in Oakland police activity increasing against the D-boys, the drug boys.
Right.
And they were all around the Arab stores, mostly Yemenite stores. That's just something I saw. Next, you were in LAPD. Are you familiar with a book? I had it. I lost it. It's put out by Central Intelligence, The Color Code.
No, not heard of it.
It dealt with red and blue colors. It seems like it was a manual for creating or helping nurture the Crips and the Bloods.
Yeah, when I was on the street, it was the Crips and the Pyrus. I mean, that's how old I am. You know, but no, that was coming up, and I have no doubt that there was a lot of psychological programming that funneled out through the police department without their knowing, helping to foster that environment. Yes.
Are you familiar with the former gang that preceded that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that, definitely.
And how they phased them out. They brought in heroin addicts from New York.
Yeah.
And sold the Mexican dirty brown.
Right.
Out of East L.A.
That's what my specialty was, Mexican brown heroin. Yeah.
Okay. I went to Jordan.
Okay.
There's another book that was put out. It's called Airspace Blues. An M.D. out of Arizona wrote this. He talked about how aircraft went over the Native American territory in Arizona and New Mexico and had pictures of beams that they had shot down. I mean, they had beamed down in the land to take the land, basically. And I was told by people from Central America and so forth, when they want to drive you off your land, you'll see the airplanes coming and flying low and so forth.
There are I've got a file on exotic weaponry that is both frightening and it's beyond comprehension on the kind of weapons that they have. But again, you know, they have electromagnetic pulse, extra low frequency. They have all kinds of stuff that's mounted and operational in C-130s right now. There again, I think Hitler called them terror weapons. Because regardless of how effective they were, they paralyzed the people because they were so afraid of them. You know, I have learned greatly lately from Native American teachers. There's a guy named Skip Mayhawk who was a videographer for me in Portland. He volunteered. He won the Medal of Honor in the Oshawa Valley in 1969 and refused it. He is a leader of the spiritual leader of the Dakota Sioux. And he taught me the wonderful thing that's been in my heart all of my life that I couldn't understand and I felt guilty from. About, he said, you know, and I said to him, how can I hate war but love the warriors? And he said, what you love is the bravery. And there was a time when war was not about was not about killing people; it was about demonstrating bravery. And until the human spirit, the human soul, remembers that bravery is the issue, these terror weapons are going to rule us. So we have to find that spark that lives in all mankind that rekindles what the Indian warrior so worships, which is the courage to fight.
That's what we farmers were about. I was one of the first that started that until they brought the dope dealers in.
Okay.
And they imprisoned most of us in San Quentin. I happened to have gone on to the university, though. I escaped. And I taught my people. I went in and taught my followers. But what about the Pale Horseman? I met someone who wrote
Bill Cooper?
Yeah, met a woman who sheltered him in Berkeley.
Bill Cooper was a raging alcoholic, and half of what he wrote was just junk. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I was emailing people who were witnessed. You know, this was a guy who wrote a book who was killed recently in Arizona. He was raging drunk. He had wild mood swings. He went out in an alcoholic rage, grabbed his gun, and shot an Arizona state trooper twice in the head. You cannot say that he was set up. I mean, you know, and a lot of what he wrote was bunk. Some of his stuff was true. So, I mean, that's why I feel a safety in what I write it from the wilderness, because I source everything. And if I can't source it to you with provable documents, I don't publish it. And I hold other people who write in the same genre to the same standard. And if they can't meet the standard, I can't deal with it. So.
Now, Nostradamus, I think one of the quadrants had predicted something similar to 9/11. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, and, you know, God's got a great plan. And whatever her plan is, I am nothing more than watching the movie, okay? And I'm going to find out how the ending comes along with all the rest of you. I'm just trying to play my little part. Just let me get up and go pee every now and again, get some new popcorn. It's all right.
Can some of these weapons cause prostate cancer?
Some of these weapons can probably cause a whole host of things. I don't know what they can all. I haven't studied them all that thoroughly, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Hi, it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm one of your actual subscribers.
Yay! Everybody here should be an actual subscriber. Yes, sir.
They're talking about reinstituting the draft.
Yeah.
You know, it occurs to me, as much as that's an obvious bad idea, but the draft was one of the things that united people in the Vietnam era.
Yeah.
People opposed the draft.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way to get the middle class.
Yeah. What? That's a good point. You're a veteran, aren't you?
No. I avoided the draft.
You look like it. Okay. Anyway. Well, you're a veteran of avoiding the draft.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was, I had a 2S for 1 year and I was 1A for 3 at college. That's a little bit of the Hegelian dialectic. And one of the stories that I'm most proud of was a story I wrote about Columbia about a year and a half ago that said, when the children of the bull market begin to die, you know, and that's something that might happen. Although in this hypnotized hysteria, we haven't seen any real U.S. casualties yet. And I think that they're planning on making the rest of the world suffer the casualties. So I don't think they will reinstate the draft. Certainly they will not do it to enforce domestic order. That will not work.
No.
Gee, I'd love to see it happen. That would probably get a lot of people ticked off.
Yeah. You know? The other thing I wanted to ask, you've talked a lot about how much time we have. How much time do we have?
I don't know.
And what are the numbers on that clock? I
mean, well,
how do we know?
The oil clock.
How are we able to gauge as we're going through it how much time we.
The oil clock is real clear that we go over the peak
right.
in the Hubbard curve around 2006.
Right.
That's less than 4 years. There will be massive wailing of teeth. I mean, you have no, you know, when you start to think about the economic implications of countries having no fertilizer, no electricity, dwindling oil supplies, things are pretty scary. I don't know. My antenna are up on a daily basis to find out. My current barometer is the Model Emergency Health Preparedness Act, how quickly it's being passed and how quickly the vaccination programs are moving. I'm supposed to ask people to speak into the microphone. And you want to split up now? We want to...
I'm wondering whether there's a general will to do some groups amongst ourselves and to think of a next step or something along those lines. How many folks would like to talk amongst ourselves? I guess all of us who would like to talk, let's gather in the back and the rest of you guys can do questions.
And I'll try to keep my answer shorter if you guys keep your question shorter. Hi.
Hi. It amuses me or interests me that lots of times I
see these issues reflected amongst the people on the left and the people on the right,
mm-hmm.
and each of them essentially says it's the other guys who are doing it.
Not anymore. What I'm hearing is the people on the left and the people on the right. Like when I get Ron Paul of Texas and Barbara Lee and Cynthia McKinney to appear in my video exclusively, that tells you something.
Yes, it does. How much are you pitching any of this to groups of people who are mostly politically right?
I am talking to anybody who wants to listen. I have a lot of people on the so-called right. Dr. Len Horowitz is a good example. He's a brilliant guy, Harvard, Master of Public Health. He's got more letters after his name than a can of Campbell's soup, who has absolutely eviscerated the government's position on anthrax. He lives in Idaho. He's a fundamentalist Christian. But we're eye to eye on this, and there is a... I think both on the left and on the right, there are levels of, what would I call it, nuts people, you know, sometimes who aren't focused, who have other agendas, psychological issues. It happens on both the left and the right. But the clear-thinking people on both sides are beginning to shake hands.
Good. One other thing. This country was, maybe it isn't quite so much anymore, and some would say it still is, but was at least at one time something very special in the world, something mm-hmm. really unique. Despite its faults, it still was so good that Europe was remade by people who couldn't even read, who had simply heard about this place.
Right, it was an idea.
This country could be that way again, but we need to think about what those things were, and we need to figure out that maybe some of the creature comforts and some of the easy ways of...
We've got to move the... Yeah. Yeah, well...
Oh, well.
There were ideas behind the great writers that never fully became realized.
It fooled a lot of people. It fooled a whole lot of people. They came from Europe.
Yeah.
They tore the kingdoms up. They overturned empires just simply to get here.
To get here, but... On the History Channel, one of the most things that has chilled me to this day, they did an archaeological dig on Wall Street to look for the oldest artifact that they could find, and the oldest artifact underneath Wall Street is a graveyard for slaves. That's the lie behind economically. That's not to fault the ideas that were expressed by the founding fathers, among which are the spark of divinity living in every human being is an absolute right to freedom. That was a concept which at the same time brought great freedom but great responsibility that unfortunately we've not lived up to.
The concept was beautiful, the execution
was flawed. Yeah. Yes, sir.
You've mentioned fascism in passing a few times. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about comparing now to Nazi Germany in the 30s.
It's funny. I was in Washington December 9th, 10th through the 16th because my mother died on the 16th and I had to come back. 31 conventions had canceled in Washington. The streets were ghost town. There were armored cars and soldiers everywhere, banners everywhere, nobody on the streets, taxi cab drivers fighting for fares to feed their family. And I said, geez, I wonder if this is the way Berlin felt in 1934. There are many similarities to the way fascism evolves, although this is being done much more subtly. But fascism, I wrote an essay in October, I guess it was, the F word, and fascism is like this almost unreasonable patriotic fervor, authoritarianism marked by patriotic fervor. That's exactly what's happening now. This is fascism. Whether you call it fascism or empire, it's behaving like the empire. And I guess if you took the definition of fascism and applied it to Caesar, you'd probably say, yeah, that's what it was. So, yeah, it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, quacks like a duck. It's probably a duck. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Hello.
We're out of time, so one more, you're it. I'm sorry, and I'll talk faster.
Earlier I gave you a paper. I'd like to say, since you mentioned the draft...
I haven't read it yet. Okay. Yeah.
Since you mentioned the draft, without reading my paper, I'd like the audience to know that what are our unalienable rights do exist, but they are in code, the United States codes I'm speaking of. With regard to the draft, or the Military Selective Service Act. It does not refer to any requirement to register for the draft. The phrase is the duty of every male lowercase c citizen of the United States to submit to registration. It does not say requirement or American citizen. Now, whereas there are many things that divide people, the greatest thing that divides people in this country is least understood, that is citizenship. So I ask you to read my paper. And it is not necessary for anyone to contribute to the federal corporation defined as such in the United States codes. The United States is a federal corporation. We can all disinvest by not contributing what are called income taxes. I have not paid such taxes in 15 years because I can decode the codes. And if anyone has any question, they may ask me how they may accomplish that.
Okay,
quite
we are
safely.
We're about to be locked out of the room, so I apologize.
But
so
we need not pay for that war. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all.